Vayechi, we're going to talk about Reuven. Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Gimel, we're going to talk about Reuven and how he came in. So first, the Pasuk says Reuven. This is Yaakov Avinu giving his brachas to his children. He knows he's going to die. He's talking to the Shvatim and he says the following: Reuven, Bechoriyata, you're my firstborn. Kochi Bereish Yisoni, you are my power and my strength, the first of my strength. Yeser Seiz V'Yeser Oz, you have a tremendous amount of strength. You have a tremendous amount of height, something that's greater than everybody else. Takas Kamayim Al Tosar. But because you are so impetuous, I wrote down, I don't know if that's a good word or not, like water, in other words, the same way that water moves quickly, you moved too quickly. Altosa, you're not going to get more than your share. Because what you did is you went upon your father's bed that's moving around the bed, and that caused a chilul, some type of profane. It was profaned. My bed was destroyed because of that. So that's what he told Reuven. You could have been great. You were offered tremendous brachos, and you lost everything. That's what he told him. So it's clear. This is supposed to be a bracha. This is the worst bracha of all time. This is not a bracha you want to hear when your father is dying, and it seems like there's nothing there. The Shari'arn says that the whole thing that he wanted to say, Yaakov never wanted to give his sons mussar during their lifetime. Even though this happened, Reuven did this years and years and years ago, almost 30 years ago. Nonetheless, he didn't want them to go up to Esav and leave the family. Only at the end of his life did he come out and say what he needed to say, and he did it now. He gave the mussar to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and everybody else understood from there what they were supposed to do with their lives and everything like that. The Alshich, Rav Moshe Alshich, says that Reuven always thought that he was removed from the Shvatim, that he had no chelik with the Shvatim. That after he had been mevalvel Yitzui Aviv, after he had moved the bed when Rachel Aminu had died, and he moved Yaakov's bed from Bilhah's tent to Leah's tent, he thought he had no chelik with them anymore, that he had lost everything completely. That was one of the reasons why he wanted Yosef to survive. Because Yosef saw in his dreams that there were 11 sheaves of wheat, 11 stars that were bowing down to him, which meant that Reuven was included. Reuven was one of the 11, so he wanted to keep Yosef alive because he thought that dream indicated that he was part of the Shvatim again. So here, the bracha is just that, says the Alshich. The bracha is, you are part of the Shvatim. You're a Bechor, Bechor Riyata. You are definitely part of the Shvatim, but you're only going to be a Bechor regarding Yichus. You don't get the brachos of a Bechor. Because you're a Bechor, because you had higher expectations, you're not going to get what you did. You lost so much from that type of situation. Says the Alshich, that's what you lost. The Mashi Loch, the Ishbitzer, says that there was a different type of bracha over here. Everything Reuven does starts off good and then ends on a bad note. He's going to be the person that can start things, but he's not the person that can end things. The line is Al Tosar. He'll never be able to add to it. And you might know people like this. People that have great ideas. They initiate, but they can never follow through with what they wanted to do. They tell you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a Masechta. I'm going to finish the whole way through. And they go through the first 5 blot, and then they stop. They can't go past that. And they say, you know what? I'm going to switch over to something else. They switch over to something else, and they do the first couple blot, and then they stop. This is Reuven's, the way that he went about, I guess the way he went about his life, and obviously a higher form, that he kept starting and then stopping, and that's the bracha that he had. You will be the initiator. You'll be the one who has these great ideas, these tremendous ideas, but other people are going to have to follow through and do it for you, because you're not going to be able to finish it off. The Belzer Rebbe says it differently. When a person is mekabel mussar, he accepts the mussar that someone tells him, that's the greatest bracha of all time. When the Shvatim all heard what Reuven was told and they accepted it, they were mekabel b'simcha. They knew that Yaakov was trying to help them, that Yaakov was only saying things to them in order to become greater. Then the curse became a bracha. That turns it into a bracha because you're able to make it even better. Yaakov was telling Reuven, the issue is not what you did. Forget about what happened with Bilhah. The issue is not that you moved the bed, that's not the issue. It's that you didn't think about what you were doing. You should have sat there and considered, is this the right thing for me to do? And there's so many times where all of us get into that situation where you just say, like, you know what, I'm just going to punch him in the face. You punch the guy in the face, and then afterward realize it's not a good idea. That is not the best idea out there. You have to stop, you have to think, you got to say to yourself, is this the greatest thing that I can do, or is it not? And then it'll minimize the punishment involved. That's what he was being told. He's being told, Reuven's being told, the issue is not what you did, it's how you did it. The way it went about, that was the problem over here. And when Reuven accepted that mussar and became a better person, That changed everything. The whole world changed when Reuven accepted it upon himself. Reb Chanuch Henoch Leibowitz. I've been really into the Sefer, by the way. I don't know if anybody's seen it before. Chidushia Leiv. Based on his shmooze and its Chavetz Chaim. It was put together by a Rav in Florida, a Rav in Chavetz Chaim in Miami. Right? But each one, it's tremendous stuff inside here. These psukim show how difficult it is to accept Musar. Even from your father, and even before you die. That it's difficult to be able to hear what somebody has to say when somebody tells you that you're doing something wrong. And it's hard for anyone to accept. And that was part of the idea, says Reb Chanuch Henoch Leibowitz. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi were great because they could accept it. They heard it. They took it from them. And they understood there's something that they can get out of this. That's the idea, he says. Rav Avigdor Miller says another bro. So far we have the Alshich, we have the Me'ashiloch, the Belzer Rebbe, Reb Chanuch Henoch Leibowitz was really an add-on to the Belzer Rebbe, and Reb Avigdor Miller says the following. It was a bracha for Reuven to not get all of these tremendous things. Reuven is too hasty in judgment. This is a person who cannot handle being the leader. A leader cannot be too hasty in judgment. He's got to be able to work on himself and become greater. If he's going to do this, it's not good for him to be in charge. A person who's in charge, let's say, of a nursing home, because I'm looking at Robbie right now. Let's say you're in charge of a nursing home. The worst mida that you can have is making quick decisions without thinking them through. You go ahead, you make a quick decision, a rash decision, it's going to be horrible for everyone involved. Says Rav Avigdor Miller, you can't let this guy be a leader. The bracha was to take him away from the Bechorah. And in a way, he says, it's the same thing with Esav. The greatest bracha that Esav ever got was the selling of his Bechorah status to Yaakov. A person with that status would never be able to live through what God expects of him. And if he tries to live through it and fails miserably, then that guy's going to be punished tremendously. Esav's gift to Yaakov was really a gift to himself. I don't need this, and therefore I can live a normal life. I don't need to be that person. That's the idea of Avigdor Miller. It's something that we can take on for ourselves. Sam Sofer says a little bit differently. He says that the bracha is that Reuven is known as the Bechor of Tshuva. He's the Bechor that did Tshuva for the first time. But Reuven was doing, although we know Adam Rishon did Tshuva, and Adam Rishon worked on Tshuva his whole life. Reuven is known as a Baal Tshuva who is constantly doing Tshuva for what he had done with Bilhah's bed. When they were selling Yosef at Tzadik, Reuven sat there in sackcloth, and he went to the side, and he did tshuva. For years he was doing tshuva. And to think about this, Bilhah's bed was moved. It's been 30 years, and Reuven is still doing tshuva for what he had done over there. Says the Ksam Sofer, when a person does tshuva, may ahava, in the right way out of love, then everything turns into mitzvos. Yaakov was sure that that was going to happen, so he considered this a bracha. He said, you did something wrong, but you did tshuva me'ava, that turned it into a mitzvah. I just gave you a mitzvah. I just turned your averos into mitzvahs. That's the idea, says the Ksam Sofer. You're able to become something greater because of that. The Ksam Sofer says it's possible that he wasn't even, Yaakov was trying to show everybody that it wasn't a big bal avera. It's not like Reuven did tons of averos. He did one. This is the only thing he did wrong, and that's that. That pachas kamayim, you'd think that there were other things that he did wrong in his lifetime. He was always able to hold it in one time. He couldn't hold himself back, and it has to do with his mother. That's the only time that it happened. Of course, the Ben Yishkai takes the word Bechori and turns it around. How many Sfardim do we have here right now? Just one? Is it just Natan? I'm so sorry. Okay, so this is a good one, though. It is a good one. Bechori are the letters of Barech Yud, that he gave him 10 brachos. Of course, the Ben Yishkai does not explain what the 10 brachos are. I was sitting there waiting for him to say what it was. But he lost everything from it. He did tshuva, but it wasn't enough. But the idea was, when he said Bechori, he didn't mean you're my firstborn. You wasn't. You're blessed. You have some of the brachos that you were supposed to get, but you lost the others. So he was saying, you're going to be blessed. You do have blessings, but you don't have as many as you would have had you gone ahead and gone through with what it was. Okay, let's go into another thing over here. Rashi tells us, and this is a little bit of a board that we're not going to spend that much time on, but Yaakov said to Reuven, he was his tipa rishona. The first time that he had had zera was Reuven. Now imagine, Yaakov even left his father's house. He did the whole thing with the brachos at the age of 63. He went to Yeshiva Shem Be'ever for 14 years at 77, and he got married 7 years later after meeting Lavan 7 years later. He was 84 when he first got married. And he said to Reuven, you are my tipa rishona. The first time that I had Keri, the first time I had had Zera, was at the age of 84 when I conceived you. That's an amazing midah, an amazing feat. It's almost an impossibility. The Peneach Raza says, Kochi Voracious Oni is 1023, 1023. The Gematria of Shalok Ra'a Keri Me'ol. That he never saw Keri in his life. It's off by one, but that's okay. We can do that, right? But Shalok Ra'a Keri Me'olam. That means he never saw it. It's a crazy thing. That we don't have to do the Nitzut Shemshon. Just know there is a Nitzut Shemshon that goes into the Klipa. It's called Larry, by the way. It's a bad name, apparently. You don't want to name your kid Larry. But Larry is the Klipa that's for evil, for Znus, that comes around, and it comes from this. He goes into it like that. The Targum Yonasan says that he should have been the Kohen. He was going to be the Kohen, Reuven. Him and his family was going to be the Kohen. Se'es comes from the word Nesias Kapayim. And the Melech, Oz, as in the Itain Oz Lamalko, as well as the Bechor. He should have three gifts. He would be the Bechor, he would be the Melech, he would be the Kohen. He would have all three gifts, Reuven, and all of his children would have all these three gifts, but he lost them when he was unable to control himself and put himself and bring himself back. He lost all those extra Zechuyos. The Malchus was given to Yehuda. The Kahuna was given to Levi. And the Bechor status went to Yosef, and that's what happened. He lost all three gifts. The Kliyakar says, Midi Kenega Mida. A king has to be slow to judgment, as we said before. He couldn't be slow to judgment. So therefore, he couldn't get Malchus. He was Machalo, his father's bed, causing the Shechina to leave Klal Yisrael. And because of that, he couldn't be the Kohen that connects the Shechina to Klal Yisrael. Says the Kliyakar, that's why he had to lose the Malchus, and why he had to lose the Kahuna. He couldn't have it. He did the opposite of what it was. So the Bechor status, the Kliyakar doesn't explain. And in fact, I kind of found it weird. Yonas ben Uzziel says he lost the Bechor status. The Pasuk starts off, Bechoriyata. Bechoriyata, you're my Bechor. So that's a little bit weird. In Pasuk Chad it is, you don't deserve to be the leader for the brothers. You did something so wrong, you showed them what not to do, so you can't be the leader of the brothers. That's the Pasuk Chad behind it. Nonetheless, it is strange. It is a very, very strange thing what happened over here. So that's that. The Bar Yosef said he became angry too quickly. Either way, the Shem Yishmol. Does everyone know what the Shem Yishmol is? No, the son of the Avnei Nezer, tremendous Hasidus Rav. Anytime you can, listen, you can't do the Shem Yishmol. The problem is, it's written out like the Sfas Emes. He has long boards, and he goes through a part. There's like seven Sfarim, I think it's nine Sfarim altogether, in the new set of Shem Yishmol. It's an impossible set to go through. But you can see one once in a while, and you'll be able to like catch something from it. He says a Bechor is the cause of other children in the family. Makes sense, right? The oldest son leads to everybody else. You can't get the other kids without the Bechor, without that older child. It's impossible to be able to have it. Says the Shem Yishmol, Kahuna is another type of connector. Just like Bechor leads to the other brothers and connects to the other brothers, Kahuna is the exact same way. You're connecting the people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're allowing them to be connected to Hashem. And if aside from that, we got Malchus as by far the greatest connector. Malchus is, you're connecting the people together as one. You're bringing everyone together. So Bechora, Malchus, and Kahuna are all connectors. They're all things that are connecting one person to one another. Anger, says the Shem Yishmol, is the greatest disconnect that can be out there in the world. A person who has anger disconnects everybody that there is out there. It's a midah that breaks down anything, that is the ability to destroy anything that it comes involved with. When he showed this midah, when he showed anger, says the Shem Yishmol, he showed he could not be a connector. He defines the disconnect. He defines what it means to not connect people together. And because of that character flaw, with a person as great as Reuven was, he lost these gifts. He couldn't be that guy. The Chassam Sofer says this is his issue for generations. Dustin and Aviram were from Shevet Reuven. Dustin and Aviram, we remember, argued on Moshe Rabbeinu and argued with Klal Yisrael. They wanted out. They took issue. Dustin and Aviram took issue with the Kahuna of Aaron and the Malchus of Moshe. They said, you don't deserve to be the Kohen, Aaron. We should be the Kohanim. They said, you don't deserve to be the Melech. Said Dustin and Aviram, we deserve to be the Melech because we're Shevet Reuven. We should have it. I'm sorry? Some sober Reishchas, sort of. But either way, regardless, this is Simon Reishchas and Shalosh was Orachaim. You should look it up. But he was, in all aspects, Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader and the Melech of Klal Yisrael. Could he have killed someone if he wanted to? That's the definition of a Melech. Could he have killed someone if he wanted to? That's a bit of a kasha. But he was a Melech. He was that. And he argued on the Malchus, on the Kuna, because that was Dustin Abiram's issue. Reuven never should have lost it. Who says Reuven lost it? Who says that Reuben actually lost it? This is our drush in the pasuk. Who says that Reuben really lost the malchus and the kuna? And they looked over at Moshe and they said, "Who said you can give it over to Aaron? Who said you could take the malchus for yourself? We want to be. We're Reuben. We're supposed to get it." That's what they said. Some say, the Chasam Sofer even says, it could be that Reuben suggested it himself. Reuben went up to Yaakov and said, "Take away my kahuna and my malchus so that I get a kapara for what I did." It's possible that's what happened. Either way, Rechaim Kanievsky says, Rashis Oni is the remez. Who is the third person involved with Dustin and Aviram?
Own
Ben Pelas. Rashis Oni is a hint to Own, who is saved by his wife. Rashis is Chala, which refers to a woman. That's a big stretch. But regardless, Rechaim Kanievsky says that this is the connector, that it refers to Own, that Dustin and Aviram sinned, but Oni survived. Own survived this entire thing. Dora Chaimakabur says, it's still, nonetheless, how could this have happened? We have a mitzvah in the Torah. It's mentioned later on, but we have a mitzvah in the Torah. You are not allowed to take the bechor status away from one child and give it to another. You're not allowed to do that. You can't take it away from one and go give it to somebody else. That's usher. That's called lo yuchal levaker acher. You can't take somebody else. So the Ramban answers. He says, Yaakov gave it over because when Reuven moved the bed, right? Why did Reuven move the bed? He didn't want Yaakov to have another child. Because if he'd have another child, then everybody would lose out. Who would lose the most from such an arrangement? From moving around the bed? The Bechor. Because he was supposed to get the double status. So therefore, Reuven did that so that no other children were born. For that reason, the Bechor status was taken away from him. They purposely removed the Bechor status from Reuven because you wanted to move it so you'd get double with all these things? No, you don't deserve that. That's the Ramban. He also says, it's possible he did it Al-Pi-Dibor. That Al-Pi-Dibor, the Bechor status is taken away from Reuven and given over to Yosef. So Ramban has two answers as to how he could do it. The Kedushas Levi said something as well, but the Ora Chaim HaKadosh says it can't be. There's just no way. Yaakov wouldn't be over on a mitzvah in the Torah right every year, would he? How could he take it away from Reuben and give it to Yosef if it's a straight out mitzvah in the Torah? You're not allowed to do that. And then a second thing. Why were the Avos able to sometimes not do what the Torah says? We know that the Avos were supposed to do mitzvahs. We know that Avraminu especially, that's the Gemara in Erevin, that Avraminu did all the mitzvahs in the Torah. He was able to do Mekayim, even the Durabanans, even Erube Tehumen, according to the Gemara. He was able to do Erev Tavshilin, it says. Right? But what shot is that? So why did Yaakov marry two sisters? Why did Avram Avinu build a Matzeva? Why was that allowed? And then what's going on? How did they know about these mitzvahs? How would they have been taught this? Where would this have come to them, says the Ora Chaim HaKadosh, that they would have known there's mitzvos that Klal Yisrael have? And it could be that Avraham was able to figure it out on his own. But that's amazing. How is that shayach? How is it possible for a human being to be here and to figure out every mitzvah in the Torah just by looking at the world? This Ora Chaim HaKadosh is a tremendous Ora Chaim because it goes through everything. He says, it's simple. Who gave the mitzvos to everyone? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to Adam Rishon in Gan Eden. He gave him every one of the mitzvos. And then he told him the following, says the Ora Chaim. You only need to keep the following seven. The Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. You know how to remember the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? And the big three. Alabez Gimel Dalet, big three. You got the big three are Gili Arayis, Shlichus Damim, Avodah Zarah. And then Aleph is Eber Min Achai, can't eat Eber Min Achai. Bez is Birchas Hashem, which is a euphemism for cursing out God, you can't curse out God. Gimel is Gezel, and you're not allowed to steal. And Dalet is Din. Din, standing for a Bez Din, that they have to set up some type of court system. Those seven, he told Adam Rishon, you are required to keep. These other 606, you can keep. Take these 606 and do what you want with them. You want to keep them? You can go ahead. You don't want to keep them, says Ora Chaim HaKadosh? You don't have to. You're allowed to keep them in order to become more Kadosh. Some of them are Lavin, some of them are Asin. Whatever you want to do, here's what you got to do. So he gave over the 606 to Adam. Says Ora Chaim HaKadosh, Adam gave it to Chanoch. Chanoch, the great man who lived to 365 and then was taken from the world. Chanoch gave it to Noach. Noach gave it to Shem. You know the famous Rashi? The Rashi says by Noach, that Noach must have learned Torah because he knew the difference between tahor animals and tummy animals? This would answer, how did he know Torah? How would he have gotten Torah? Noach wasn't a Navi until he was told about the table. So how did he know Torah? How did that happen? And the answer is, he learned about Torah. How? From Adam Rishon. How did he get it from Adam? From Chanoch. They taught it down. Only the greatest people in the generation knew this. Noach taught it to Shem, and Shem taught it to Avraham. And Avraham taught it to Yitzchak. Yitzchak taught it to Yaakov. Yaakov taught it to the Shvatim. And the Shvatim decided that they're not going to keep all these mitzvahs. Not like the Avos did. There was certain one of the brothers that said, no, we're B'nai Noach. We're going to keep only the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. There were other brothers that said, no, we're going to keep all 613. And they tried to keep all 613. There was one of the Machlokistim, says the Parsha struck him, and what the Shvatim did, what they were arguing about regarding Avraham and Achai. Which one of the Avraham and Achai do we have to do? We have to do the non-Jew example of Avraham and Achai or the Jewish example? Says the Rechaim HaKadosh. They got it all the way from Adam. They all knew it from Adam Rishon. That's what they took on for themselves. She says the following. The Avos decided, since we got to keep only seven mitzvahs, and the other 606 are voluntary mitzvahs, we're going to keep them unless we see a good reason otherwise. When Yaakov saw that there were two women that he could marry, they were sisters, but they were unbelievable women. They were great tzedekos, and each one of them could be a mother of Shvatim. They could be the mothers of the Shiftei Ka. You know what he said? He said, forget about this mitzvah. I don't need this mitzvah. I'll marry both sisters. The mitzvah is not for me. It's not a command. I shouldn't even word it as a mitzvah. The idea is not for me. It's something that I could take on. So he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to marry both sisters. When it's a toelis in that situation, then it's even better for them to be go. And it's even better when the people that are doing it are Nevi'im. Because they're prophets. They can decide if this is the right thing or not because they have Nevu'ah to be able to decide what to do. What's up, Asher?
I don't know where it is, but like where all the great people in Jewish history are talking, and like,
each one says, I did this, yeah, I did that. Tomorrow I'm Pesachim, I'm Dav Kuf Yud Beis. It could be a little bit later. Could be a Beis. And Yaakov even said, I marry two sisters. Exactly. Says Rashi, Rashbam, it's a Pagam that I marry two sisters. It wasn't an Avera that I married two sisters. It's a Pagam. It looks bad. Since after the Torah was given, we have to keep these mitzvos, and I married two sisters. That's why Yaakov even said, I shouldn't be the one benching. And David HaMelech was the only one that got up and said, that's what it says over there, right? That's the Gemara you're referring to. That's 100% right. But it wasn't an Avera, and that was the good call over here. That's why Yaakov used this. He punished Reuven with a mitzvah in the Torah. I'm not allowed to take away the Bechorah from Reuven and give it over to one of my other brothers. But he saw Toelis for this. Reuven can become a Baal Tshuva. Reuven can become a great person, and Yosef could use the Bechorah in a better fashion. So I'm going to take it away from Reuven. I'm going to give it over to him. Even though the Torah is going to answer this 200 years from now, even though the Torah is going to say this is not a good idea 200 years from now, nonetheless, I'm going to decide this is the best thing that must be done right now, and I'm allowed to do this. The Torah wasn't given yet. It's not yet a mitzvah. That's why he was allowed to do it. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. That's how he was able to do such a thing. That's the idea. But what he's saying here is that Reuven was the true Bechor. There was no real issue here. There was no issue of what the thoughts of Yaakovina was during conception, that he thought it was Rachel instead of Leah. This is a true Bechor without a question whatsoever. And there's no one to blame for this. Reuven did what he did. He was pachas kamayim, impetuous, too quick to judge, whatever, too angry. Whatever the issue was, he did something. He deserves to be punished. This is the punishment I decided upon. Even though it's against the Torah, I'm allowed to do this because the Torah hasn't been given yet. That's the Orach Chaim HaKadosh's answer is how it's supposed to go. The Moshe of the Canaan, right, says that the Bechor status was a status that he bought from Esav Yaakov. And therefore it didn't automatically go to his children because it wasn't his status. He wasn't the Bechor. It went to whichever child he chose. He's allowed to give it away to a different kid. He gave it to Yosef for that reason because it wasn't the same as a regular Bechor status that a normal person has because it came in a different way. Because just Levi said something over here.
Can I change which child I said before, but can the child actually sell it before?
No, normally no. Before the Torah, the status of the Bechor meant you were a Kohen as well. Right. So you could sell the rights to serve in the Mishkan or on the Mizbeach. That you could sell because there's actual something there. But the Bechor status of the Yerusha, that idea that you get my Yerusha, in theory you could sell it. Meaning you could sell it as Tovas Hanah. So for example, like the same way that you could sell the rights to a Ksuva. Like if a woman wants to say, if my husband dies or if I get divorced, you own the rights to that ksuva. You can do that. You can sell the rights to the double portion that you'll get after your father's death, which is morbid and disgusting. But in theory, you could do that. If you needed money right now, you could do such a thing. So that idea could be there, and maybe Reuven would be able to have such a thing. It's possible. That is possible for that. Nechsam Sofer says the exact same question. He says it in Drushes. He asks the exact same question. And then he asks another question. This is a strange one, and I think people should have asked this in the first place. This is something that's so obvious. What was the double status that Yosef's kids got? What was the double portion that they got? So what was it?
They were shaved. Shouldn't have been explained the shavet.
Yeah.
Like I read the shavet, they had the same portion of land.
They had, meaning each one of them got a portion of land.
They were
a portion of land in Eretz Yisrael. Now, here's the problem. Reuven has a bunch of kids. Reuven. No, let's not do that guy. John has a bunch of kids. Okay? And he passes away. So where do all those boys split up the inheritance? So it goes like this. There's two things. There's muksuk, and then there's roi. Muksuk means all of the property that John has in his bank account right now that he absolutely owns and has the ownership rights to. If he owns $50,000 in assets, that's what he actually owns. If he has a house and the house is worth $450,000, then he has $450,000 of a house, $50,000 of assets, that's $500,000. He splits that up between the kids. If there are four kids, then it'll end up being, let's just say, three kids take $100,000, the fourth kid takes $200,000 because he's the Bechor. But let's say there are futures that John owns. He owns futures. It's not something that's worth now. He owns a bond. The bond is going to mature in 25 years, and the bond is going to be worth not $50, but it's going to be worth $75. So do the boys split up the $75 that it's going to be in 20 years, or do they split it up according to what it is right now? The answer is, that's called roi. What could be, what I have the possibility of getting, but I don't actually have. Here's the issue. Eretz Yisrael was not owned by Yaakov Avinu. It is not muchzuk. He had no chazukah on it. There was no chazukah at all on the land of Eretz Yisrael. What did he have it as? It was roi. Says the Chasam Sofer. How was he able to give that out to Bnei Yosef? The Bechor status doesn't apply on that. The Bechor status applies on something that he had right now. Yaakov Avinu in Mitzrayim, what does he own? He owns 12 sheep and 13 cows and 14 goats. Split that up between the Shvatim and give a double portion to the Bechor. But to give out Eretz Yisrael, it's roi. He doesn't have it. How can he give that out to him? Do you understand the question? Do you see what I'm getting at with this? We've got muksuk, we got roi. There's no way that he could give out Eretz Yisrael as a double portion. He says it's Chasam Sofer. It doesn't make any sense. It could be that maybe that was Reuven's whole svar in the first place of what he did with whatever. But let's try to understand this. That means, in theory, you just got around the entire question. How could he change the Bechor status from Reuven to Yosef? That's usur. He can't do that. The Torah says you're not allowed to do that. You can if it's not a real status. It could be that Reuven got double the amount of all the other shvatim in cows and goats and sheep and linens and everything else in Yaakov Avinu's household. He might have gotten a double portion because he was the actual Bechor. But the double portion spiritually, the double portion in Eretz Yisrael, that's roi, that's not part of what's right there in front of us. That he could give out to everyone. You want to give it to Yosef? You can give it to Yosef. That's not the Bechor status that's changing. That's a spiritual Bechor status. What Yaakov was telling Reuven is, you're my Bechor. You're my firstborn officially. You will take double. You're going to get double the amount everybody else is going to get of what I own right now. But Yosef's kids already have a different split. They get Eretz Yisrael. and that's a different status altogether, and that has nothing to do with what the Torah says, that you're not allowed to make one a Bechor over the other. That's not going to happen. Avnei Nezer talks about this as well, but I want to go on to the next page, so let's stop with that for right now. Many Achronim ask the question, it's an obvious question. It's a really obvious question. We have a Chazal, a Maimer Chazal, it's mentioned in Yavam itself, Ayin Vav, I believe, Ayin Vav and Aleph, that a woman cannot become pregnant the first time she has relations. It's impossible for a woman to become pregnant the first time they have relations. That does not necessarily apply nowadays when the women that are getting married are well over the age of 12 and the besulin is less of a besulin as it is when they were getting married at 12. Okay, so in other words, a besula, an actual besula at the age of 12 cannot become pregnant the first time that they're together with their husbands. Yes?
I thought it was just before that the first time...
That's going to be our issue. Because if this is the first time that Yaakovinu had been together, then all of a sudden the child was born, and that was Reuven. How is it shaykh that Leah was able to have a baby if she was a besula, and this is the first time that she had had? I'm sorry? So that's a good question. Some say that Rachel and Leah were twins. And if Rachel and Leah were twins, well, you know what? Let's get that. We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in 1 second. So how is this possible? The Mizrahi says, she crushed her besulin with her hand. Tamar did that in order to become pregnant with Yehuda, right? And that's what she did in order to become pregnant. She crushed her besulin with her hand. She did that, right? So Mizrahi says she did the exact same thing over here. Leah did that to make sure that nothing would be wasted and that she would be able to become pregnant immediately. Perhaps that was even part of her plan. If she became pregnant immediately, Yaakov would find it hard to divorce her right afterward. Right? I mean, if she became pregnant right then how could Yaakov do that to a pregnant wife, even if it was a mistake? Possibility.
The marriage, then.
Let's say she did it right before the marriage.
So let's go with that.
That's a good question in of itself. So that's that. The Baalei Tosfos quote that from Yerushalmi, but he doesn't say where the Yerushalmi says that, and I don't see it in any Yerushalmi. Tosfos says it in Yevamis Daf Ayin Vav. He says in Tosfos Ayin Vav, like the Mizrahi, she broke the Besul, and that's what happened. The Chidah says that those were the Simanim that Rachel gave Leah. Brilliant, isn't it? The simanim that Rachel gave Leah. You know, we think of the simanim as sort of like hand gestures. That Yaakovina was like, huh? And she was like, huh? And that was that. And like all of a sudden, Leah got those hand gestures. And then all of a sudden, once the hand gestures went through, then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, you must be Rachel. And everything was all good. It could be that the simon that was given from Yaakov to Rachel is that I want the first child, I want our child to be born from the first relation. I want that to happen the first time they were together. The only way for that to happen is to crush the besulin. So he gave that simon to Rachel, and Rachel gave that simon to Leah. And Leah did that based on what Yaakov Vinu said. The Chizkuni adds to that idea. The Chizkuni says the Imos so badly wanted to have children, they're willing to do anything to make that happen, and this is what they did. They made sure that the besulin wasn't there. Maskil David says, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. Why would she have done this? If he now might claim Tainas besulin. Has anybody here done ksuvas?
Yes.
Very beginning. If a guy gets married to a woman and sees that she's not a besula, he's allowed to claim Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, that she's not a besula, and it's a mekach tos, and she's immediately divorced. So although she's claiming, well, he's not going to divorce me, right, because now I'm pregnant, but Yaakovina could claim it's not a marriage in the first place. I didn't want to marry this woman. She's been together with a guy. So I didn't want to be together with such a person. Why wasn't she worried about that? Now, if it's a simon, one of the simonim, we just answered that question. But the Maskil of David doesn't understand it. So he answers, and the Gurari says as well, that they were together twice on that night. And somehow the second time was really what impregnated Leah. It doesn't really answer the question. If you look at my sheet, I have the answer to the question that you probably have. But in some way, right, it's some way that would have been a mutter dicka way for this to happen. Somehow it would have been there. I just don't want to go into the details of such things. The Be'er Besada, however, rejects the whole idea. It says it's impossible because the Medrash Rabbah says she was 22 at the time. She was too old for these issues to be there. The Sefer HaYashar says she was 20. 28. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says she was 12 exactly. So according to Rabbeinu Bachaya, maybe this can somehow work. But according to the others, the Rebbe said in the Sefer Yashar, in the Medrash Rabbah, there's no way. There's no way that could have happened. So that's that. If she was 12, by the way, it makes a lot of sense why Yaakov asked for 7 years. Because when he met Rachel for the very first time, she was 5 years old. As a side note, we know that the first time that Yaakov met Rachel, he kissed her. Well, it doesn't sound as bad if it's a 77-year-old man kissing a 5-year-old. Okay? It's not like that. It's just, it's bad, right? But it's not if it's like on top of the head. You know what I'm saying? Like a 77-year-old man to a 5-year-old girl, okay, that's not so bad. It is bad that an 84-year-old man is marrying a 12-year-old girl. I do understand that. But at the end of the day, that's what happened back then, so that's what happened back then. But if she was 12, that makes sense. I have to wait 7 years because she's not able to be married yet until she's 12 years old. That's what ended up happening over there. That's one idea that's going there. Now, Moshe Zakenim says something. I don't want to say it out loud. You can look it up yourself. It's a crazy Moshe Zakenim. But either way, but that's something else entirely. We spoke last week how Yaakovina was connected to Adam Rishon, and that was there. We spoke that whole idea of what it is, that Adam Rishon somehow through the 130 years, Yaakovina was able to fix it by his 130 years. It's unbelievable. Reuven is a Gilgal of Cain, says the Chidah, and it's brought down by the Yalk Ruveni as well. The word Se'es is used by both of them, by Ruvain, in Tativ Se'es. And by Ruvain, Yetzer Se'es, says the Yalk Ruveni, there's a connection between the two. Just like Adam is Yaakov, Reuven is Cain. And the pshat is, they were the Bechor, the ultimate Bechor. Cain was the Bechor, Reuven is the Bechor. And both of them lost their Bechor status to the younger brother. That Chase took on the Bechor status after Cain, and Reuven lost his Bechor status to Yosef HaTzadik. Both of them lost that. Reuven was expected to fix the chait of Cain, to be able to make it better, to be able to make everything that he had done in a better way. Reuven didn't do what he was supposed to do. What was Cain's sin? Pachaz Kamayim. He quickly, hurriedly killed Hevel before figuring out what to do or thinking about it or trying to consider how he could go about something. He quickly destroyed Cain. And in that sense, Reuven should have fixed it by not being Bilbo Yitzui Avi. Think about it. Is this the right thing to do? Is it not the right thing to do? When he didn't do it correctly, Reuven did not fix up the chay correctly. Unfortunately, he lost that chance to be the Bechor again, to be the Cain Bechor that he could have been. That's the idea behind it. There's a couple other things behind that, but I'm not going to go into there. The last thing is revolting, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to say it. You can look inside, but the idea is that Yaakovina could not paskin whether Reuven did the right thing or wrong thing. He put the din in the air and he said, I don't know if Reuven did the right thing or not. Let's wait until Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does that mean, to wait until Moshe Rabbeinu? You need a din in Shemayim to paskin what Reuven did over here. That's a question in of itself. I have an answer over here from Rav Olson. There's another idea from the Shach, right? From the Shach al Torah, not the Shach from Shulchan Aruch. But either way, what did we go through? We went through how this is a bracha. We mentioned 8 answers as to how this was a bracha, even though it seems clear that it was a curse from over to Reuven, but clearly it could have also been a bracha. Then we said he should have been the Kohen, he should have been the Melech. Why did he lose the Kohen and the Malchus and possibly the Bechor status as well with the Shem Yishmol, the Kliyakar, and the Ksam Sofer? We mentioned the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, an unbelievable Orach Chaim HaKadosh that explains how this could have happened. How could he have gone against the Mitzvah? We had the Ramban, the Kedushas Levi, the Moshe Zakenim, the Ksam Sofer, the Avni Nezer, which we didn't really mention so much. And then we went into how she was able to become pregnant from the first relationship with all the answers from the four Shirash, etc., and spoke out that connection between the souls, said the Yalka Ravani and the Chidah. But altogether, this explains a little bit about what was happening here with the bracha of Reuven. Shkoyach, everybody. Have a good Shabbos.